Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Getting Savvy in Health and Wealth. I am Catherine Murray, a newscaster in business news, of course, and former Wall Street professional. I was going to say veteran, Melissa, but I'm not that old yet. So anyway, and yourself?
Seasoned professional. Yes, I'm Dr. Melissa Hirschberg. I'm a medical physician. I have a concierge medical practice in Toronto, and I also have a specialized interest in preventative health, weight loss, and aesthetic medicine as well. I've written a couple books, The Hirschberg Diet and The Rebel Diet, and I'm also affiliated with The Wellness House, another preventative clinic here in Toronto. And yes,
that's a lot. Veteran. And like a mother of many, and a mother of many children.
Yes, and yes, a mother as well.
And, yep. And fabulous wife. Fabulous yes. wife. Let's throw those in
yes.
there too.
All right? Around fabulous. Yes. Fun friend, wife, yeah. mother.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And new podcast. And actually, by the way, Melissa, we should talk about the idea, just to remind people for, you know, new listeners coming on. I mean, the reason why this started is because you and I, for the past 10, 12 years, we'd always be talking about what you're doing on the medical side, what I should be doing because of that, and you know, medical and beauty, injections, all that kind of stuff. And then also you'd kind of talk to me about ideas within finance and investing and how to go about doing it and who do you trust mm-hmm. and how do you get started. So that's, we're trying to help everybody kind of just get savvy and share our conversations. That's the idea with this. Also, just to point out, entertainment purposes only, make sure you get your own advice.
Yes, correct.
Correct. So where do we want to start today? Well, I always start with the markets, but why don't you start today? And why don't we start with one of the items in the news that maybe people saw, which of course is the fatality of a UNH CEO of the insurance side of UNH, so big US healthcare company, got shot in New York City in front of the hotel as they're going into their, I don't know if it was their AGM or their investor day, but you know, the topical front page of the Wall Street Journal today, Melissa.
Yeah, so I haven't looked at the news today on this, but yeah, this is really shaking up the health insurance corporate world because it's scary. I mean, it's making people really think about their security detail. And I know a lot of health insurance companies have removed the pictures of their key executives from their websites. So basically, this CEO of United Healthcare, which I think is the biggest supplier of US health insurance, Brian Thompson, was walking in New York in front of the hotel about to go into their investor meeting, and he was gunned down by a man on the street and shot dead. And apparently, they have not found him yet. Now that is as of last night. I don't know what's happened today, but it looks like he was staying at a New York hostel in the Upper West Side. You can sort of see pictures of a bit of his face. And they found, and you know, they don't know the motive yet, but they found the gun, the bullet casings had the words inscribed on them, deny and delay, which some
deny,
people thought,
deny, defend, and depose, wasn't it?
Or maybe deny, defend, depose. I saw deny, delay.
Oh,
but people have sort of wondered, first of all, I didn't even know you could inscribe bullet casings. Like, is that a thing? Like, we inscribe jewelry here? In Canada,
right.
Will inscribe on their bullets there in the US. Like, I don't know. That whole world is so foreign to me. But, you know, people are saying, you know, was this somebody who was disgruntled with the health insurance system? Maybe that he was getting denied claims or they kept delaying his payments. So maybe some people have hypothesized that maybe that was the motive. But again, people are just guessing. No one really knows. But it does speak to a huge problem in the US. And I mean, obviously, understanding the US healthcare system and how it works with the insurance is very complicated. It's actually just last week I was listening to Peter Attia's podcast, The Drive, and that was the topic of the podcast. It was all about interviewing an expert on the system and trying to understand how Medicare works and Medicaid works and all those nuances that we don't have to think about here in Canada. But US healthcare, I think he was saying, makes up a quarter of their GDP. Like a huge amount of spending in the US is on healthcare. And these health insurance companies are huge business. And like any corporation, they think about their profits, right?
Right.
And how do you make more profits while maybe deny more claims? Like, I don't know. Or maybe they're just trying. So, you know, a lot of debate has now come out of this and controversy has come out of this where people, you know, you'd think people are like, it's obviously horrible. This man was murdered, you know, for 50 doing years his old. Job. 50 young man, nice guy, apparently, you know, and murdered. But yet there's a lot of people, I think, on the other side of things that are like, our lives have been ruined by not getting coverage for what we deemed a necessary test that saved my life. And the insurance company is saying it's unnecessary. You know, and when you hear stories like this, you really we take it for granted in Canada. I mean, obviously our system is not perfect and a lot of people complain about our healthcare system, but we take for granted that it's free. You know, if you need a test or a scan, yes, we might have to wait a bit longer and it might be triaged based on what they deem the urgency is, but you don't have to sit around and be denied and you don't have to sit around not, you know, be told that you can't afford it or that no one's going to cover it. I mean, no system is perfect, but yeah, well, I mean, I was
curious, you know, when you said you wanted to talk about this, you mentioned it to me the other day and then we, you know, recapped that was going to be part of the conversation today. And I wasn't sure why, but it's interesting to hear your viewpoint. You're really looking at these two different medical systems. Neither is perfect at all. And I think the issue here for so many Canadians is that, you know, we don't have enough capacity. We don't have enough. The wait lines are too long. So the system here isn't working for a lot of people. And to your point, though, it's also, I don't think, working very well in the States. For a lot of people.
It's problematic. Like, you know, here people might complain that they died while waiting to get their turn for the test.
Right.
You know, maybe they needed this MRI or CT scan and it was booked months out and they just couldn't get it or they couldn't get a doctor. And that's the problem. Whereas in the US, you can get it if you can pay for it or if your insurance company is going to pay for it. But it's just a very different, it's just a very different model. And like I said, like, I think even the brightest minds in the US in healthcare can't even understand the system in full. So like the average person, of course, is going to have a hard time understanding it. Our system's easier to understand. It's, you know, free healthcare for all. We pay for it with our tax dollars. But the problem is we don't get some of the drugs here in Canada and the technology here in Canada as quickly as you can get it in the US. And we can't get access to it. You know, often the wait times are so long because it is a public healthcare system. And then you have to think about, you know, what makes sense to pay for. Like in the US, let's say your doctor thinks you need a test or a drug. They then have to wait to see if your insurance company will okay it. Whereas here, if your doctor thinks you need it, you can get it so long as it's in Canada, right? Like you don't have to wait for the insurance company to say whether, you know, they'll. It just shows that it's more complicated than we think. Healthcare is a really huge business and complicated. And
well,
even here, like we don't waste the government and tax dollars either. So a lot of people will say, well, why can't I go for, you know, a bone density every single year if I want to? Well, because the government's saying that's not cost effective and we don't want to waste taxpayers' dollars on doing what we deem to be an unnecessary, non-urgent test that wasn't intended, you know, it's not necessary. But then on the patient side, it's important to them. So they're saying, well, then why can't I pay for it if I want to? And then they're saying, well, you're not allowed. It's all sorts of, these are things I deal with patients on a daily basis.
I can tell because your voice and the fact that you wanted to talk about
this. I'm passionate
this,
about it. Why? Yes, because I want to help patients and they want to get an MRI tomorrow that they think is so important. Why can't I get this?
Yeah.
And then I'm dealing with, you know, the hospital saying, nope, they can't get an appointment till 10 months from now. because they
And that's too
triaged
long. Like,
everything
let's face it,
first.
Melissa, that's too long. That is too long.
But I guess when they only have so many that can go around and so many that can get
Yeah.
done, they're prioritizing what they consider to be more, you're not going to die of a torn ligament in your knee, whereas
Right.
other things might take priority. But to that person who has
Sure.
the torn ligament in the knee, who wants to get back to their job
Work.
or their
Yeah.
recreations or whatever they want to do or just feel better, to them it's urgent. And then they're saying, well, then if I want to pay for it, why shouldn't I be allowed to pay for it?
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a lot of
Yeah. Well,
So
by the
anyhow,
way,
that's in the news. I hope they catch the obviously I hope they catch him. I can't see how they can't. At this point, they have a
I
fairly
know.
clear picture of his face. They know he checked into the hostel. They know he purchased a gun. And what was interesting that is I saw that he purchased a it was he had a silencer. And apparently the
Yes.
police are saying they rarely see that.
Oh,
This was
interesting.
yeah.
Very premeditated, very targeted.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
back to the thinking though, as well as it relates to the healthcare system, I think the way we need to be advocates for ourselves, and part of what we're talking about here in terms of being savvy, it's also about being savvy in terms of how we prevent sickness and illness, right? Like those are some of the topics that you and I have been talking a lot about, which leads me into we're going to talk about GLPs once again, because there was such interesting news out this week that the ones we've been talking about, while they're good, there was new studies this week that show Zepbound, correct? You have more weight loss.
Correct. So Zepbound, which is tirzepatide, that's the drug in Zepbound. When it's indicated for weight loss, when it's indicated for diabetes, you might have heard of it called Mounjaro. It's all the same drug, just a different label.
Okay.
So Zepbound, when they did a head-to-head trial of it versus Wegovy, which is Ozempic, or semaglutide, they found that people using Zepbound lost significantly more weight than the people on Ozempic. So the exact stat I wrote down. So basically, they randomly, sorry, assigned people to take one of the two drugs, either Zepbound or Wegovy, for 72 weeks. So that's a long time, right? So that's over a year. And these were non-diabetic patients. These are patients that were either obese, met the criteria for obesity based on their body mass index, or were just overweight and had another health-related condition or weight-related condition like high cholesterol or high blood pressure. And what they found was that people on Zepbound lost on average 50 pounds, whereas people on Wegovy lost on average 30 pounds. And that was about 20% of people's body weight on Zepbound and 14% of people's body weight they lost on Wegovy. So, that's significant. So people lost, more weight on Zepbound than they did on Wegovy. Now, they both lost. What's interesting also is that, okay, they both lost a lot of weight, but also on neither study, even after a year, neither one lost more than 25% of their body weight. So maybe that wasn't their goal. So if you're a 200-pound person, no one lost more than 50 pounds.
Interesting. So what does that mean then as a doctor and prescribing?
Well, it means a couple of things. So one, now they might have reached their end point and said, well, I don't want to lose anymore. I'm good at this. But it also shows that there's a, the longer you take these drugs, you don't just keep losing and losing and losing. There is sort of a plateau that people even hit on these medications. And what was also interesting to note is that the study was funded by Eli Lilly. And that's relevant because I don't care how much they say this is a randomized controlled trial and it was double blinded and people didn't know and all those things. In my experience, often whoever's funding the trial maybe somehow influences the results a little bit. And I'm not saying they did, I'm just saying I'm curious if Novo Nordisk went and did the same head-to-head study if they would get that same result. I don't know. Or
So
maybe
Eli
Eli Lilly
Lilly has.
wanted to fund it because they were confident that they were going to have better results.
Okay, so Eli Lilly has Zepbound.
Correct.
That stock is up 4% in the past 5 days. Okay. And this news just came out, right? And then let's just take a look at Novo Nordisk. That stock is up 3.7% in the past 5 days. So there really isn't much difference, which is kind of interesting. And I think encapsulates your point that there is almost a bit of a plateau. Think about that. And that's really important as we translate into whether or not you'd want to buy a Novo Nordisk or Eli Lilly. You'd think that this would be such a big factor to lean towards Lilly versus Novo. But when you look at the stock price, and this is why whenever you see news come out, you know, stock prices can be wrong, but stock prices tell a story. So the story is it wasn't much difference in price performance over the past 5 days. I think that's pretty interesting. Now, there could be other news items as well that drove, you know, Novo versus for a different reason. There could be another trial that was positive. I don't know. I haven't looked at it that closely.
Well, there was also, right, we talked about how Wegovy was approved in China for weight loss. So Wegovy, Novo Nordisk, so maybe that caused a bump in their stock. And they might have other things in the pipeline.
Right.
But the overwhelming is what I'm seeing firsthand is they both are effective drugs. They both work. I think they're game changers. I don't think they're going anywhere. And in Canada, we have Ozempic and Wegovy, and we have Mounjaro. I don't think we have Zepbound approved in Canada yet. I don't have one patient on Zepbound. Cost-wise, my experience is that the Eli Lilly drug has been a bit more expensive in Canada than the Novo Nordisk drug. Mm-hmm. And when you compare Ozempic versus Mounjaro, Ozempic is a lot easier to use because it comes in a pre-filled pen, mm-hmm. whereas Mounjaro, which is tirzepatide, people have to draw up. So if you're needle phobic or you have a hard time with that, but a lot of people just prefer the pen.
Got it.
And I'm also hearing from people that Eli Lilly's drug has less side effects. So people tend to have less of the nausea and less of the gastrointestinal distress that they have on Ozempic.
Okay. Let's take a look at the markets as well. On Fridays, the first Friday of every month in the United States is when they report their jobs. Okay. In Canada, it's sometimes the first Friday, sometimes it's the second Friday. But we did get both jobs reports today. The US jobs came in ahead of expectations in terms of jobs created. But the unemployment rate did tick a little bit higher. So that this is in the United States. So that's leading some people to believe that the US Federal Reserve, when they meet the week of the 15th, December the 15th, will probably still cut rates, but maybe only by 25 basis points versus 50. And remember, basis points is 50 basis points is a half a percentage point. Why does this matter? It matters because it lowers the cost of financing. So your interest payments on your cars, your home, well, not necessarily your home, but interest payments on your credit card. Now in Canada, we did have the jobs coming in. So the US created over 200,000 jobs. We created just over 50,000 jobs here, which was higher than expected. The problem though, is that 88% of those jobs were government jobs. So government jobs don't create growth. Private sector creates growth. And so that's why you're seeing GDP, so growth per person in Canada, decline 8 quarters in a row. So that's disturbing because we, again, here have less than 1% growth right now. So, and the only reason why we have any kind of growth is because it comes from government spending. Whereas in the United States, their growth is going to be, you know, nice, close, just under 4%, I believe. I would also just point out that the unemployment rate here in Canada did tick higher to 6.8%. That's around the pandemic levels. So again, a weaker economy here, which did put some downward pressure on the Canadian dollar. The Canadian dollar, when I last looked, it was down. I can't believe it. I have to almost check. But I think it's down close to another percentage point. So that's a big move for our currency. So again, not a lot of growth and optimism here, more so in the States. That's causing those US markets to still be in bull mode. So bull being bullish. Again, it circulates around lower taxes, lower regulation under a Trump presidency, more optimism versus kind of just stand still here in Canada, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Any questions though, Melissa? Like any thoughts there that come to mind? Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's just sad. I mean, our dollar is so weak. Yeah, we just don't have the spending power. And
we're importing inflation. Yeah. People have to remember, whatever you see in the stores that is not made in Canada, and by stores, I mean the grocery store, we're importing those goods with a weaker dollar. That means we're technically paying more for the same goods. So we're importing inflation. And that's why the cost of living is just so high for so many Canadians. For everybody, the prices are up significantly. So I thought that was important. Now, you haven't asked me about my very casual outfit.
Well, I notice it's casual. It looks very warm.
It's warm.
I mean, I'm in a tank. I'm in like a sleeveless dress. You're in this nice, cozy looking sweater. Tell me.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned last
week. Is this Ralph Lauren outfit? Oh, it's great.
Do you like it?
I love it.
Do you?
I do.
Okay.
I love it, especially with all these shows right now that are so popular on Netflix. It's giving like a very, what's that show that had Kevin Costner?
Yellowstone.
It's giving me like Yellowstone vibes, like classy, chic, wealthy, living around mountains. That's what it's giving.
Thank you. By the way, the jeans are fabulous. They're the exact same color as my shirts. So when you actually take the sweater off, it's actually a cool look. And the shirt's very fitted, which I like. And the jeans are high waist and only a tiny bit of stretch. So real denim, which I like because it sucks everything in. I don't like the stretchy jeans.
Old school denim.
It's old
no, I don't
school
love
denim.
It. I like
and
the old
so,
school denim. I'm saying, like giving that yellow, like, you know, like on a ranch.
It's not, it's a bit ranchy. And, you know, well, I mentioned this to you that I was in the Ralph Lauren store at the Outlet Mall, just outside of Toronto, Mississauga area. And I walked in, the store was packed with people. And anytime you see that, you know, I used to cover retail stocks going back to my Wall Street days as a junior analyst. And, you know, I covered many companies that you would know. But when you go into a store and you see a lot of people, like it's called heavy foot traffic, you have to ask, is it the brand that's just so strong now, or is it promotional activity? But even if it's promotional activity and they did have significant promos on, you can't draw people into your brand just because of promos. Like people were holding up these polo shirts and buying all these different things. And as I mentioned, I saw this outfit on a mannequin. I'm like, fantastic. It's a great look. And, you know, sometimes when I'm in Aspen, the same woman, I've been going there for years, and the same woman has been in that store. Like, I don't know if she's the manager, but she's been there, honest to God, like 20 years. And I go in and you see these beautiful mannequins, and I'm always like, do you have a lookbook, right? So I can look at all, and then I can put things together, which they don't really do anymore, right? Because everything's digital. And so anyway, when I see a mannequin, just buy the mannequin. And that's what this is. But anyway,
can I just add a caveat? I was at a hairdresser earlier today, and she was telling me she was in Miami, and they were at this restaurant, and she saw these like beautiful women walking around, almost like posing in this gorgeous outfit. And at first she's like, you know, is this a working woman? Like, what's the deal with this woman? And it turns out from a store, no, that's sort of how they were showing off their fashion, getting people to look at the different outfits they would come in. It was almost like a fashion show casually in the restaurant, but not as a formal fashion show. Just, you know, it would be like if you were working for Ralph Lauren and you come to the restaurant in this outfit and people are looking at you. I mean, they're going to ask you if you got it.
And it's so much easier. Just buy the whole outfit, you know?
I learned that a long time ago. I never buy a piece unless I know what I'm wearing it with.
Oh, that's smart.
No, I won't do it anymore because otherwise I'll just sit in my closet. Because if I haven't figured out at that moment what I'm going to wear it with, then I'll never figure it out.
Yeah.
So either buy the whole outfit together or know exactly what's going to go with.
So smart. So after I went into the store, Ralph Lauren Outlet, I looked at the stock, and stock, as I'd mentioned to you, had been under, now where is it? I got to find it. It's done well. It's done well. And I think it's going to continue to do well. I haven't bought it yet, but you know, we talked about some of the fundamentals on it, that they're doing well internationally. The sales seem strong. They've got this newness, this brand refresh that we talked a little bit about last time. It's actually up 61% on a year-to-date basis, the stock. But there are price targets that are much higher than where it currently is, like offering quite a bit of upside. So, I probably will bite the bullet, even though it's performed so well. I don't love buying stocks that are up so significantly, but this is one that I think I will go ahead and do that on. Just FYI.
So that's one
So,
retail stock buy.
yeah, that's one. Yeah, and also too, speaking of outfits, and you being a lover of Temu. Temu, the e-commerce giant, the Chinese e-commerce giant, bargain deals, and apparently it's one of the top shopping app in the United States, Temu. So you're not wrong at all in terms of people loving it. You're right. But one piece of news that I wanted to mention to you is that their operations have been suspended in Vietnam because they missed a deadline to register to do its business there. I mean, that's just maybe a bit of a blip. That's what we call a bit of a blip. But just, when you own stocks, it's always kind of interesting to keep your eye on what the news items are.
So I watched I mean, I think Temu, I mean, it's just such value, right? You
Interesting.
can buy everything on it. It arrives quickly. It's just everything you can get. But I watched this documentary on Netflix just last week, and I wish I could remember the name because it was so eye-opening and it was so upsetting about all the
Oh
waste. About all the waste that we are creating with
no.
our drive for growth in all these industries and fast fashion, and the fact that we're such consumers and we are encouraged to consume. I mean, we're being marketed to constantly, and we're encouraged to consume, 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 buy more, buy more, buy this, but buy, don't wear the same thing twice. And your phone's not working anymore, get a new one. And the amount of waste that we're producing, we can't get rid of, and how they're tracking these things that you think are good. And they're just ending up, apparently they were saying, like, when you feel good about yourself because you donate your used clothing, but then apparently they just ship them to this other country that doesn't have any, they don't have enough people. They don't have enough people to wear these clothes, and they're just going into the water and they're just piling up, and the waste is horrible. So when I think about like ethical, it's really hard. It's a huge problem that's facing us right now in terms of, just the amount of
Agreed.
products we consume, and things like Temu that makes it so easy to consume and access because it's so cheap. So we buy, we buy, we buy, and then what ends up happening is we just create more and more and more waste. And so I think this is the biggest problem, or one of the biggest problem that faces our continent, right now. And so anyhow, yeah, so
Fast
I worry
fashion.
about Temu, because of that. Like, it just doesn't really align with my, I don't know, but I guess maybe some people are ethical investors, others are not, but it just sort of bothers me. And also the whole Chinese involvement of it, and with Trump coming in and the increased tariffs. And so I'm not quite as excited about Temu as an investment anymore, although I do still like it. Yeah, I do still like it.
And for people who are just joining, I think that Temu is one of the first stocks we talked about. It was either the first or second episode that you own it. The parent company is called PDD Holdings. Again, e-commerce giant out of China. But this is part of the process too, Melissa, right? Like you look at the fundamental, you looked at why you like it, why you think it would be a good company and therefore a good stock. And it does have these issues though with respect to Trump and China and the potential policies. It is down 31% on a year-to-date basis, I'm sure, but it's very volatile, right? Like you could have made money on it depending on where you bought it. And then you sit back and you also take a look at the ethics of it. Absolutely. Absolutely you do. I'm not saying you, but I'm saying like I had portfolio managers that would never buy a tobacco company, or they would never buy a Vegas company. So,
Yeah, it just
people
depends on
have their different.
how you choose to invest. I mean, you have that's the thing. You have the right to do with your money. You can put it where you want to in terms of what's important to you, whether it's, making the biggest return, or if it's investing in companies that you really, believe in what they're doing and their ethics. And yeah, anyhow.
Moving on. Okay, so update from last week. Salmon sperm to be injected into your skin. You received it.
I got it.
Have
But
you
as
done
I was
it?
saying, no, I haven't done it yet because I just literally just in. But it's funny because you know how I said, well, I'm not going to get the actual salmon sperm and you want it. Well, what I meant was I'm not actually going to get a vial of semen from the salmon, but what I am going to get is how it was turned into the product. This is the PDRN
What's
product.
PDRN?
Polydeoxyribonucleotides. So the DNA from the salmon sperm, basically.
Okay. They
I'll show
extract
you.
The DNA. Wait, so they extract the DNA
Correct.
out of
From
salmon
the sperm.
sperm.
Correct.
Got
yeah.
it.
So what I meant is I'm not getting a sperm sample.
Right. I thought you were, but okay. It makes
no, no, I'm
sense.
Not getting the actual. I don't know how the salmon would give the sperm sample. It's not like a fertility clinic.
Right.
Anyhow, so okay. But anyhow, this is it. I'm going to take it out of the
Okay.
packaging. Okay. So, okay. Right now we're a podcast. It would be annoying. But if you were watching us on YouTube, or if we can film this later as just a little clip, what I'm doing is I'm showing Catherine the little vial of the PDRN. And this is, it looks like basically just like a clear liquid. And the way it's used is we're going to do it with microneedling. So we're going to take a microneedling pen, create micropunctures on the skin, and then put this on topically. And that's going to infuse into the skin and create that nourished, refreshing, renewed, glowing skin that we're hoping is part of this whole regenerative process to create more collagen and more youthful looking skin. So I'm definitely going to be using this. And Catherine, you too, you're going to come in for a treatment,
I'll
right?
come in. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
You
We
think,
can,
will I be able to see a difference right away?
I mean, I think so. I mean, that day
Really?
You'll go home. So right away, because don't forget, you're also going to get the benefits of the microneedling. So that day you're going to go home and you're going to look red. I would think there'd be maybe 24 hours downtime where your face will look red from the microneedling. And then I would say within a week, you'll probably notice your skin looks more youthful and has a better glow to it. But then obviously it's going to take a few more months to actually boost that collagen. So with these things, you can notice an effect sort of immediately, but the real effect takes a little bit more time. And obviously just one treatment, I don't know how much it's going to do. It's something that I would probably recommend doing a few sessions of. I like to try all these things on myself, and then I can give people a little recommendation of this is the science, this is what it says on the internet, you know, if you go on Reddit or whatever, how people are.
The other thing too, Melissa, is, you know, it's hard to know what actually works, because if you've been somebody like myself taking vitamins for the past 20 years, and some people believe in them, some people don't, but you know, if you've been doing that and you know, eating well and less processed foods and all that, and exercising, and then doing some microneedling, there's not one cure. It's really all of it, right? So it's difficult to pinpoint
It's cumulative. It is. These are cumulative things that you're going to do. But that's why when things stand out, like Botox or the general category of neurotoxins, so with Botox, Dysport, Xeomin, they're all types of neurotoxins. You know that worked. You do it, and 3 days later, your wrinkles aren't there. So it's very easy. That's why that's such a blockbuster, right?
Interesting.
Those type
Right.
of things, because you see, same with this Ozempic and, you know, Govi and Zepbound and Mounjaro, they work, right? People use it and they see, okay, I'm starting to lose weight a couple weeks later, you know? So some things are very obvious in their effect, and other things take a little bit more. We're not sure, but there doesn't seem to be that much of a downside. So over time, the cumulative effect of them, I do think, has been.
Speaking of the internet, what we see on the internet, I've been getting a lot of clips on Instagram for hydrogen water and how good it is. Is this, and I sent it to you. I'm like, is this a gimmick, or should I be drinking hydrogen water, which I don't even really know what it is.
Yeah. So I've seen those clips. It's going around Instagram. I think one of the big gurus in longevity medicine, I forget, it was Huberman or one of those guys, I think was the one on Instagram talking about how you need to be using this and it gives you more energy and it's anti-inflammatory and you'll be extra hydrated and blah, blah, blah. So right away, I look at that and my BS detector goes up a little bit. I'm just like, because I find that when something claims to do everything, does it really do anything? You know, like I don't know, but I did look into it. So like in my experience, like isn't all water hydrogen water? Like water is H2O, right? It has hydrogen in it already. So hydrogenated water, and this hydrogen water is basically adding extra molecular hydrogen to the water.
Okay.
And the way it's done is through a special bottle that basically infuses it with the hydrogen molecule. So it just has extra hydrogen. And apparently it's supposed to be, you know, even better for you, better for your immune system, better for your overall health, better for your energy. They're saying that athletes find it makes a huge difference. I looked at buying one online. I mean, it's not that expensive. You buy the bottle, basically, like you buy the bottle, you add your own distilled water into it, and then basically turn it on, and it looks like it lights up to put in these hydrogen molecules into it. So I think it's something to try, sure. Do I think that this is going to be a cure-all? No. And from what I've read, it's really not that different to having carbonated water. So I drink a lot of carbonated water. Like we have a soda stream at home. We add carbon dioxide to the water. So it sort of does a similar thing. So I'm going to try it and I'll tell you if I notice any difference. But while we're on the topic of water, a study came out that really caught my attention. It was a Medscape article that they had a nephrologist. So that's a kidney doctor. Come on. And they said to him, how much water should we be drinking in a day? And people ask me this all the time. Like, you know, a lot of people, and you even mentioned, I think on our second episode, whenever I'm not feeling well, I drink water. Whenever I have this, I just like, a lot of people think drinking water is just, you know, so good for you. And it helps with everything, but the science just really doesn't back that up. So what this article showed is that the right amount of water to drink per day is somewhere between a little bit to a lot. In other words,
somewhere, that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, somewhere you have to drink more than zero, because if you drink no water, you will die. So you have to drink more than zero and less than 20 liters a day, because if you drink any more than 20 liters a day, you will die, or you could die. So somewhere in that window, he said, is about right. But he basically said that when they looked at all the science and all the different studies, they found that really the best indicator of how much water to drink is your thirst. That we have an unbelievable evolutionary system that basically really tightly regulates our bodies in terms of our water balance. So we can change our electrolyte balance in our body via ways like urinating more or less, concentrating our urine more or less, sweating more or less. So essentially he's saying the more water you drink, just the more you pee. So it's sort of like drink all the water you want and you'll just keep peeing. So some people think, well, isn't that better for me then if I'm peeing a lot, because aren't I flushing out the toxins? But what he said is, nope, you get rid of the same amount of toxins regardless of how concentrated or dilute your urine is, because the toxin filtration is done in the blood above the level of where the urine comes out.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. He was basically saying, so on all these studies that looked at, but hey, doesn't drinking more water help with weight loss? The evidence doesn't really back that up. One study showed, nope, no difference at all. Another study showed, well, if you drink half a liter of water before every meal, then yes, those people lost a few pounds more because they were less hungry at meals, but no big difference, like an Ozempic difference, right? And then it's, well, isn't your skin better? Nope. The studies did not really show that. It basically showed that the more water you drink, the only real thing that it showed is that the more you will urinate and the clearer your urine.
Yeah.
So again, it goes back to this, oh, all these people walking around with these giant Stanleys, you know, I don't know. You follow your age old, drink when you're thirsty, try to get, you know, 8 cups of water a day as just try. And, you know, we get water also, don't forget, we also get it from the food we eat. So if you're someone that eats a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, you're getting water in your food. So you might have less of a need to drink water. Right. So
yeah, Interesting.
Anyhow, it was a really interesting article because it
What's
was, I
the,
think,
do
a
you know
little
the
bit
article,
shocking.
Melissa? Do you know the article in case anybody wants to listen to it? You can look it up while we keep going if you want,
Yeah, let
but
me see. It was in the
okay.
JAMA Network Open, I think it was. And I'll look up the name. Let
Okay.
me see if I can. Yeah, I can. I'll find it and
Perfect. Okay. We
we
can
can
bring it up
after, but
next
it's
time.
a really good. Yeah, it was good. So then when someone says, well, how important is hydrogen water? I mean, how important is water even? Like, you gotta drink
Right.
some, and maybe this hydrogen water, sure, maybe it's even, but I don't think it's this major game changer the way that, this Dr. Huberman speaks about it. And
Yeah.
yeah.
Speaking of how much, I've gotten questions from a couple of people with my NAD that I did with you, the NAD injection. Well, a couple of things actually on this. The NAD injection, what do you don't call it? Do you call it an injection, what we did? No.
IV. Because an
IV.
injection makes it like a needle poke, whereas an
Right.
IV is an intravenous infusion.
Okay. So how often should I do it?
So again, there's not really any hard science about exactly, how often, but I would say about once a month would be a
Okay.
good
Okay.
starting.
And then I did actually get together with someone who has all the stuff in her fridge, and she gives herself the injection, the NAD injection. So she does an injection, not the infusion. Have you heard of this?
Maybe it's NMN, or maybe it's a
Okay.
precursor to the NAD.
Okay. Don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure,
Okay.
but I'm curious to see what one she's giving herself.
Yeah, me too. I'll follow up and ask her. The other thing I just wanted to mention, we talked about RL. So, and for people to understand too, again, how you and I started talking about stocks and investing was you would experience something positive or negative, and mostly positive, and then say, well, what does the stock look like? So I think I mentioned to you, we went down to the Mike Tyson fight in Dallas, and we ended up flying on Delta. And when we got down to Dallas, I sent a text to one of my girlfriends and I said, the Delta flight, fabulous. And I don't like to fly. Fabulous, right? And we had to connect. And it's still fabulous. And we did sit in business class, I will say that. But they were so nice. They were so professional. They were happy that the flight attendants, it just gave the whole ambiance gave a very different feeling. So that's why, I ended up looking up the stock price, which has done well, and done very well. But then I looked at the fundamentals, and they talk about the demand backdrop being strong and strong heading into 2025. But I think they've also differentiated themselves, Delta, that is, because you'll see big differentiations. We talked about this last time in terms of the stock price performance for different airlines. With Delta focusing on the experience and focusing on bringing in premium seats, so not just business class, but a little bit more premium back behind business class. They also want to make sure that the experience is best in class for economy, because some of the people in economy, as they start their careers, are going to end up, being in premium and being in business class. So they want to really capture that going forward, which I thought was a really interesting strategy. They also talked about international flights as being a bright spot. So this is a stock where, again, it's up, but it's one that I think they're leading the charge right now, as it relates to business travel. And I think that there's more and more people wanting to travel. Obviously, we can talk about the consumer and still a lot of uncertainty there, specifically, I think in Canada. Probably in the States, but maybe a little bit less so now. But I do think that this is one to take a look at. For me personally, it's up 60% on a year-to-date basis. So it's,
Wow.
yeah, it's true.
What can you look up? I know that United is also up quite a bit. Can you look up how much United is up?
It is up. We talked about this. So United is up. It's interesting. United is up 142%.
United is up major.
Yeah.
I knew that. I knew that. So I don't know if this is airlines and all airlines in general.
No, it's
Or
not.
this is just United and Delta,
United and Delta,
or
I think, are the two top performing ones. American Airlines is up 26%. So a bit of an underperformance. So sometimes you might say, well, what's American doing in terms of their strategy? And will they play catch up, right? You also always have to look at the big picture. And what, this is why we always talk as well about what's going on globally in terms of the economy. China's been weak. We've got geopolitical tensions. You know, does that limit travel? So, you know, who and how much exposure do you want to airlines? Also, interestingly, the
Does
airlines
the
are down.
cost of fuel play into it at all or no?
What's that?
Does the
Yes.
cost of fuel?
Definitely, definitely. So I wanted to bring up the fact that the airlines are down a little bit today, and the price of WTI, West Texas Intermediate crude, is up today. So if you see the price of crude up, you might see a little bit of volatility. But then that's your. You can also say, well, maybe today's the day I actually want to step in and buy because I'm going to get it 2% off.
Oh, interesting. So, you know, funny what you say though, because it's true. Like when you fly in America, I remember I had the same experience. I flew an American airline and I was just like, this is amazing. But I guess there's so much more competition for airlines in the US than there is in Canada.
Right.
You know.
That's a
But,
good
you
point.
know, in Canada, I just read that Air Canada now, they're gonna make people an economy. You're not allowed to have a carry-on bag anymore. So
How
that's
is that even
annoying.
possible?
Yeah.
So here's
So,
what
or
can
maybe they
happen,
make you
though.
pay for a carry-on bag. I don't know if you have to carry it out or if you have to pay, like even for your basic travel bag. So, yeah.
But
So
then
you can
you go
bring
to
a porter.
Porter.
That's
Then you
it.
can look at Porter.
Yeah. Which has a lot more routes now.
Yeah, a lot more routes and much more allowances in terms of being able to carry it. And you know, if you think about it as well, even though Air Canada, you know, is our main large airline in Canada, it doesn't if it's so difficult or not pleasant, take a Delta flight and do a connector. And you're probably going to be connecting anyway on an Air Canada. So, you know, they have to be careful in terms of what they offer and don't offer, in my opinion.
Well, let's look at this as a good segue into chapped lips
Thank
because
you.
whenever I fly, I tend to get dehydrated, right? And we're in the winter season here and everybody's complaining about chapped lips. So I thought we'd talk about that a little bit more.
Tell me.
So actually, I saw some Instagram post of Kylie. Do you follow Kylie Jenner?
No.
Okay. So anyhow, so she was doing her get ready with me, something like that. And all of a sudden she gave away her best secret for keeping her lips hydrated. And it's actually, and I'm going to show you here
Okay.
on, so on the podcast, what I'm showing Catherine is lanolin nipple cream. So
No.
people swear by this hack to use on your lips. And I have to say, I have it on my lips right now. It's lovely. It's so hydrating and so apparently, people say it's like amazing. It's the best hack for chapped lips. So basically, lanolin. This is what a lot of women who are breastfeeding use for cracked nipples. And what it is, it's a wax produced by sheep to keep their wool to moist. So it's like a waxy substance produced by them to keep their wool moist, and it's very similar to like our own human skin sebum that keeps our skin moist. So people say that this is amazing. It's better than any lip chap. So it's something to try, this lanolin
I'm
nipple
definitely trying
cream.
it.
Yeah, but
Lanolin
I also
nipple cream.
nipple cream. So try it, see what you think. And it actually comes on like a ointment. It actually feels nice. Like my lips look really like pouty and hydrated, and it's pretty cheap compared to going to Sephora and buying one of their fancy ones.
Well, Melissa, I have to tell you, I love Kylie Jenner's lip gloss. And I have it
Yeah.
on now because it makes me feel like my lips are moist for a long time. I
Good.
wonder if she
Yeah.
puts it in that.
I don't know.
I
But
doubt
this I
it,
just
but.
bought over the counter at the pharmacy. And so anyway, so there's that. Also, another when your lips are really chapped and sore, sometimes I'll use a little bit of a mild steroid ointment. You can get them over the counter now, the sterile cream, where it's like a prescription in Canada, the 1% steroid ointment. Just use it pretty sparingly. And there's another thing I want to differentiate. So chapped lips are one thing, but when you've got those dry, really cracked sores on the corners of your mouth, that's different than chapped lips. That's something we called angular chelitis. And often, first of all, that can suggest a vitamin deficiency. So when someone has that, I think, are they maybe deficient in vitamin B2 or iron deficient? So we test the blood looking at that. But it can also be just from moisture and bacteria and yeast getting into the cracks in the mouth. So no matter how much of the best lip ointment you put on it, it's not going to get better unless you use a topical antifungal or antibiotic or steroid. So we often do a combination.
Interesting.
Yeah, ointment for that. So some people, they suffer and suffer with these cracked sides of their mouth and they're not getting better. Well, that's something you need to see your doctor for, because that often does need a prescription, and you need to look if there's an underlying factor for that.
So in this 1% steroid ointment, why would a steroid help your chapped lips?
It's anti-inflammatory. So if there's a lot of inflammation going on, it's the same way it sort of helps people with eczema, right? That have chapped skin looking red, angry, irritated skin.
Oh, I see.
You know, I wouldn't use that regularly all the time, but, you know, if other methods aren't helping, a little bit of that can sometimes be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap up pretty soon, but I just wanted to mention to you, Melissa, because you asked last time, you want to own a company that has or sells toilet paper.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay. Not to put words in your mouth. And you mentioned Costco because that's their number one selling product. You brought that to my attention. I did not know that. Costco stock is up 63% on a year-to-date basis. It's a 52-week high. Their recent same-store sales, so their sales were a little bit below expectations. You know, the traffic was a little bit weaker. The ticket size, so how much people spend per checking out, was up. But when I looked at a number of analysts' price targets, there's only 2% upside from these current levels. So again, that's current, right? Doesn't mean that's, you know, 3 years out, but for me, I would look to buy it on a dip, like put it on your radar screen.
Yeah.
Not, it's not interesting enough for me personally. So I'm just sharing that with you. Also, the Canadian banks did wrap up their earnings results, and CIBC did better than expected. So did RBC. And National Bank, all of those were a bit better than expected. TD and BMO missed, but I've seen a lot of upgrades on the BMO stock. In case you're looking, you know, as you said, you are for a BMO or for a bank purchase. And the one thing I would mention as well, from the Canadian perspective, and this is kind of sad, bad news here in Canada. I'm sure people saw, but TD, you know, got into trouble with U.S. regulators for not being properly monitoring money laundering. So they got slapped with a historic fine. And the company, TD, has suspended their financial growth targets because of this. They're reviewing right now what their business options and their priorities are. So in other words, that stock is under pressure. And so, Melissa, it's sometimes what you call, like, there's a lot of hair on the stock when you have these issues. And so sometimes, because it's trading at its 52-week low and has a 5% dividend yield, that actually might be one, if you believe in TD for the long term and you believe that they can turn it around, that actually might be one that you're more interested in, because some of the other ones are at their 52-week high. Okay.
Totally.
So that's just a way to kind of think about it. Like, it sounds bad, but it's like, okay, but sometimes there's an opportunity. This, you know, the bank's been around forever. And then I think that was probably about it from my end. Just to be aware, the Bank of Canada meeting's coming up. I think people are still expecting some type of rate cut. What will that do? That will put downward pressure on the Canadian dollar. So even though it might alleviate some pain as it relates to interest rates and helping the economy, you know, it's all these fiscal policies and regulation that's really hurt the Canadian growth story. There is no growth. So just to try to grow your way or alleviate pain by cutting rates isn't a solution at all. Particularly when our neighbor to the south is growing and their dollar's getting stronger versus ours. And by the way, when we look at the markets, and the markets both in Canada and the United States have kept moving higher, it's telling you that people right now versus the other week when the news came out about the tariffs being potentially imposed, the market, we call it brushing it off. This week, they're kind of brushing it off because the U.S. markets hit a record high once again on Wednesday of this week, charging higher, charging forward.
Yep. And we didn't even talk about crypto, but we can save that for next week.
I just wanted to mention that too. The one liner, over $100,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I think that's it for this one.
That's it. Okay.
That's it.
Okay,
I
later. Take a video in that sweater. I want to see the full outfit.
I'll take a full picture. It's much better in
Yeah.
person. Okay,
Okay.
bye.
Bye.